The Sugar Planter's Daughter by Sharon Mass. Read by Saffron Kumba for Saga Egmont. Part 1. White Lady Guavas. Chapter 1. George. Georgetown, December 1912.
Our wedding was a quiet one, and small. On my side sat the family. Sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, nieces, nephews, friends, and my disapproving parents. You can't trust them white people, Ma had said. Especially the ladies, they got claws. Ma knew all about white ladies. She had worked as a maid for 3 of them when we were small. She said they were all high and mighty and stabbed you in the back. But it didn't turn out that way. It was the other way round. Me holding the knife. This is the story of how that happened. I'm telling it not to excuse myself. There is no excuse. It's my confession. I must bear my soul before Winnie, before God. Maybe that way I will find forgiveness and redemption, absolution. There's an ugly stain on my soul and I must wash it clean. Winnie, if you're reading this, I hand this stain to you. I put it in your hands. Wash me clean. I will tell all, right from the beginning, even things you already know, because that is what a confession is about. You start at the beginning, when all was good, all was perfect. Winnie was solid gold, I told Ma when she said those things about her. And we would marry and all would be good. I knew it from the bottom of my heart. She and I would conquer the world. We already had. That we were standing there at the altar was proof of it. That's what I thought on my wedding day. The proudest man in the world. We married at the small Roman Catholic church in Alboystown. The same church where I had been baptized. Winnie wore white and she was beautiful. Her father was in prison, so she walked up the aisle alone. She had few guests. Just her sister, Yo-Yo, and her mother. Yo-Yo hated me. I already knew that. She disappeared immediately after the wedding, and I was glad to see her go. That ridiculous hat. But her mother, whom I already called Mama, took us out to lunch at the Tower Hotel, Winnie still in her bridal gown, and tried to put me at ease. So that was a second good white woman. And then I took Winnie home to Ma and Pa, home to Alboystown. I was a bit ashamed at first. How could I take my bride home to a tiny Alboystown cottage on rickety legs? She, who had grown up in a sugar palace on her daddy's plantation, in splendor, a princess. How could I pull her down so low? But she told me not to worry. She already knew about small cottages. She had lived with Auntie Dolly, whose cottage was even smaller. Auntie Dolly had taken her in as a silly 16-year-old runaway. Auntie Dolly had taught that sugar princess how to pluck a fowl and brought her down to earth. I forgot to say, Auntie Dolly came to the wedding too. Auntie Dolly and her daughters sitting on my side of the aisle. Auntie Dolly would put her hand in fire for my Winnie. She already had, but that's another story. Auntie Dolly had made Winnie's beautiful wedding dress, and her brother, a tailor, had made my suit. The smartest suit in Alboystown, with tails down to my knees. That suit made me stand tall. It made me almost feel worthy of my bride. There was just the two of us and Ma and Pa because my sisters had moved out, married and gone. They came to the wedding too, grudgingly. They thought the same as Ma, that Winnie would stab me in the back like all white women. And they too were wrong. We would be the happiest couple in the whole colony. It's what I promised her. What she promised me. But first, we had a honeymoon.